So today we're kicking off this new series called Miracles, and I'm really excited about this, and this sets up a lot of things that's going to be happening for us in a few weeks with Easter. But as we're talking about miracles, I want you to know that Jesus performed many miracles. In fact, the Bible records just 37 of the miracles that Jesus performed, but it also tells us in John 21, verse 25, John tells us that Jesus also did many other things, and if we were to write it down, this is what he said. He said there wouldn't even be enough books and an entire library to contain all the things that Jesus had done. And I think that's worth mentioning because we serve a God who is able to do miracles. Amen. And so what our goal is for this series, and I just want to set this up and just let you know what we're going for. Our goal in this series is to help everyone understand that God still does miracles. Amen. And that God can do a miracle in your life. Now, presenting this to you, I'm aware that this can be a very controversial subject because sometimes we've gone through some things and we've experienced some things that may lead us to believe otherwise, okay? And so part of the controversy is this, is there are some people who believe that miracles no longer are taking place. In fact, there are some who believe that after Jesus ascended into heaven, all the miracles ceased. Okay, but there's another group of people who believe that that miracles still happen today. And I want you to know that here at Emerge, right here, your church that you belong to, we believe that miracles still happen today. Amen. We believe that God is a God of miracles and he can do a miracle in our lives. And that's what we're believing God for. And you're going to hear some of these great miracles on display on Easter Sunday. And we're going to celebrate with those who God has done something incredible in their life. And so just to kick this thing off with a theme verse, I want us to go to Psalms chapter 77, verse 14. And I want you to hear this. This is really cool. It says, "You are the God of miracles and wonders, and you still demonstrate your awesome power." You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. Notice the tense that it's in. It's in present tense. You still display your awesome power. You still do it. God is still a God of miracles. Here's another verse for you out of the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed and miracles that cannot be counted." Amen. And that's what we're believing for. We're believing that you're going to see some miracles in your life. So here's the big question that I want to ask you as we start out. How many of you would love to experience a miracle? You would love to see a miracle take place. I mean, come on, I think everybody was just like, yeah, man, I want to see this. I want to tell you a story about the first time I saw a miracle take place. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old, and I was with my parents at church, and there was this older gentleman that he was having some major back issues. And so when he went to the doctor to try to figure out what was going on, he found out that one of his legs was shorter than the other. And when I say shorter, it was about 2 inches shorter than the other. So I'm assuming he probably had a little lean, okay? He was leaning a little bit. And so this was causing major back problems for him. And so he'd gone to the doctor and they were talking about some different solutions of what they could do. And so he believed that God was a God who can do a miracle. And so he asked if the church people would pray for him. And so he went to a few of the men in the church. And so they sat the man down. I'll never forget this as a young boy, just witnessing them, just watching it. And they sat this guy down. They sat him in the chair and they picked his legs up. And sure enough, one leg was about 2 inches shorter than the other. And I just thought, you know, this is going to be a nice courteous prayer for this guy. You know, they're going to pray for him. They have some empathy for him. And so they begin to pray. And as they were praying for this man, I saw his leg literally begin to grow out. And I was just blowing my 9, 10-year-old mind, just seeing this leg grow out. I mean, because you usually only see those kinds of things in the movies, but I'm seeing this like with my own eyes. And I'm seeing this man be completely healed. And all of the doctor's visit, he went back and they measured him again. They said, "Sir, everything in your leg is fine. Everything, your back is aligned now because your leg has grown out." And God did a miracle in this man's life. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was 9 or 10. It was just so incredible. And it inspired a lot of things in me to believe that God is able to do miracles. How many of you think it would help? If you could just see one, it would make you believe a little bit more. And I'll never forget seeing it, man. It just blew my mind just to watch that leg grow out. Now, today what I want to talk about as we jump into this is one of the miracles that Jesus performed. And it was a guy named Lazarus. And he was dead for 4 days. And this is a pretty cool story, because after being dead for 4 days, Jesus brings this man back to life. I mean, if you want to talk about mind-blowing, I mean, this is a mind-blowing story right here. And so we're going to jump into the book of John, chapter 11, and we're going to read through some of this story. We're going to pick it apart. But there's some things in here that I believe is really going to help you in your faith whenever it comes to believing God for miracles. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. In verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." A man named Lazarus was sick. And I need you to know from the very beginning that every miracle begins with a problem. Every miracle is going to begin with a problem or an issue or a situation. And here they have a situation, this dear man named Lazarus, he has this sickness. Now, here's the thing. Every one of us, come on, how many of you want to see a miracle again? I mean, all of us, we want to see a miracle, but how many of us want to see a problem? See, we don't want to see a problem, but in order to see a miracle, we've got to be able to see that there are some problems, okay? And this is, I believe that problems, this is where God works. Problems are the soil where God's power really, really flourishes. And so we have to have an understanding that the problems that we're dealing with, the situations, these needs, this is the place where God's power works best. Notice the Bible says it's in weakness that his power is perfect. And so maybe you have some needs, some issues. Am I talking to anybody here today? You got some things in your life and you're saying, "God, I need you to do something." That is the address for God's power to be right at work. Am I talking to anybody here today? So let's keep reading. Verse 2. "And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus." Listen to this. "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, this is so cool, because what we're seeing in this story right here is that these characters of the story obviously had a relationship with Jesus. It's obvious that they knew who Jesus was. And I find it very interesting that it says that whenever they appealed to him, he said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, I probably would have said, "Lord, this guy Lazarus, who loves you a whole lot, you know, he like really, really loves you. He supports your ministry and he really attends your meetings when you're in town. This guy is really, really in need." But they're making an appeal from something that is unlimited, which is the love of God, because they know that God loves us. Amen. They know that Jesus loves this guy and that his love for Lazarus is greater than Lazarus' love for him. And so they made an appeal based off of Jesus' love. And they said, "Lord, the one that you love is sick." And here's the thing that we have to understand, especially about miracles. There's a lot of folks who are trying to earn a miracle. We're praying, but we're trying to earn it. We're working. We're trying to prove that we're worthy enough of a miracle, hoping that if we performed enough, it would make God move. It would move God's hand. And I want you to know, it's not your performance that's going to move God. It's God that's going to move God. Amen. It's God's love that makes him move towards us. And we've got to have the proper understanding of that, or else we will always try to achieve everything that God has. And that's a dangerous, slippery slope, because we begin to live this thing called salvation by works. And we have to understand that our salvation doesn't come from the good things that we do, but it comes from the great things that he has done. And when he gave his life on the cross, he paid the ultimate price. And all he's asking you and I to do is what? To believe. He wants us to believe. And the same thing when it comes to miracles. A lot of times we're trying to earn it. And sometimes this is what happens. We feel like we're not seeing anything because God is punishing us because the bad things that we have done in our life. All that's happening because that time back in the day we did that and the Lord is just showing us his wrath. Come on. And we believe these kinds of things, and that is not a proper picture of a loving God. Amen. Amen. Come on. Help me out here today. So it's important for us to understand this relationship that they have with Jesus. It's a picture of his love. So let's keep reading verse 4. "When he heard this, Jesus said," this is what he tells his disciples. The word comes to him, this guy is sick, you need to come. Verse 4, "When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick," watch this, "he stayed where he was for 2 more days." I wasn't expecting that. I mean, if you love me, I think you might want to get moving. Am I right? I mean, if you really love me, Jesus, where you at? Anybody ever had that? You just threw that out in your prayers like, oh, Jesus, I love you. Where you at? Been praying about this for a long time, Lord, and I don't know where you at, but wherever you at, you need to get yourself over here and do something about this. You ever gave the Lord a pep talk before? I have done this. Lord, you do know that you're the miracle worker. Like, you do know that, right? Like, I'm just trying to help you out a little bit today. I don't know. Maybe today's rough for you. Maybe there's a lot going on in the world. But I need you to know that you're the all-powerful God. Just got to remind you so you can do this. It's kind of like, come on, Lord, you can do this. I feel like I'm helping a kid on the baseball field. You can do this. Come on, man. Eye on the ball. Let's go, Jesus. Eye on the situation here. So when I read stuff like this, it makes me realize that I'm not the only one in this situation. Because here's these people that have a relationship with Jesus. It's the one who Jesus loved. I mean, come on, this is really starting to get intimate here. We're starting to see that there's a real relationship. And he gets word. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. I mean, was he on vacation? I don't know. Maybe he just needed, maybe it was a fishing trip with the disciples. I mean, maybe he was out of pocket. I don't know. But what we see here is he didn't immediately respond like we thought he would. And there's a part of me, just like with you, and let's not pretend how holy we are today, but let's just be honest. There's a part of me that's a little disappointed about that. Like, seriously, you can laugh, okay, because you feel the same way. Like, I'm expecting if I call, you answer, bud. Like, come on, let's get with the program here. My old boy Lazarus over here needs a miracle. Where you at? It's just how I feel about it. It's a tricky place to be in. Whenever you're calling on the Lord and it seems like nothing is happening. It's a very tricky place because I believe this is a trap that Satan can use to mess with us. Because you hear one thing, like in this series, you're going to hear that Jesus is a miracle worker and that God is all powerful and there's nothing too difficult for him. And so you hear that with your ears, but with your eyes, you see a whole nother thing. And in this situation, they know that Jesus is a miracle worker, but yet they're seeing their brother Lazarus, who is sick, and it's like, where you at, Jesus? Come on, get over here and do something about this now. You can do it, Jesus. You can do it. I believe you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I think you can. Hurry up. I'm just saying it how you say it, okay? And so in this trap right here, this, watch what happens. Our minds, this is where we begin to analyze. This is where our minds begin to create some scenarios. You know what I'm saying? This is where we start figuring out what we need to do. Well, I guess it's because we didn't go to church that Sunday when it was that big Sunday. We didn't go for the 5-year celebration, and the Lord's kind of showing us we should have went to church. And you say, people don't do that. Yes, they do. These are the kinds of things that conjure up in our minds. And I want you to realize that this is a trap that Satan is using. This is a deception that Satan is using. And he's trying to trap us and cause us to give up on the very one who gives us life. This is what he's trying to do. And ultimately, he's trying to get you to the point to where you believe that God doesn't care about you. Get you to the point where you believe that God doesn't love you. Come on, can anybody relate with this? And so let me just introduce what I call the progression of a spiritual breakdown. Anybody ever had a nervous breakdown? Don't raise your hand because you might have another one after everybody finds out. Yeah. So much going on, so much stress, so much pressure, you can't handle it anymore. And so there's this breakdown that begins to happen. And it's a nervous breakdown, but I believe there are people who are having spiritual breakdowns. And let me show you how it rolls. This is kind of what happens. The first thing is we don't understand how God works. When we don't understand how he works, it's easy for us to believe that God's not doing anything. And when we believe God's not doing anything, that's where we feel the pressure to perform. That's where we feel the pressure to do something about it. And sometimes the only thing you could do is pray. Come on. Sometimes the only thing you could do is pray. But we don't understand how God works. Watch this in John 11. Same story, verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Now, this is Jesus telling his disciples. He's not there with him yet. He's still on the fishing trip or wherever he is at, okay? We don't know, but it sounds cool if he's on a fishing trip, okay? After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. And his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Like some of you, I know you'd really love to sleep. So these disciples are not—they're not calculating what Jesus is actually saying here. They're not putting together all the pieces. They think that what Jesus is saying is that this dude needs some rest, so let's let him rest before we go make a visit. But really, what Jesus is saying is that, hey, this guy is going to die, but that's okay because we're going to go and wake him up. And it's just blowing their mind because they have never heard anything like this. They have never seen anything like this. And can I just say, that's what makes it a miracle. Am I right? I mean, if you've heard of it and you've seen it, it's not a miracle. But if you haven't seen it and you haven't heard of it and it happens, now you realize, okay, this is what a miracle is, okay? And so they say, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. They didn't understand how he was working. And this is the beginning of that trap. This is where the spiritual breakdown begins to happen because we have a need or a situation. And so we start praying about it and we don't see anything happening right away. And so it leads us to believe that nothing is going on, that God won't, that God can't, that maybe we don't deserve it. Maybe we didn't do enough to earn it and all of these different things because we don't understand really what God is up to in this situation. And it's hard. This is what I've learned. It's hard to understand God's timelines. Can I get an amen there? Hard to understand his timelines, hard to understand his process, even hard to understand his plan with this, because in our minds, we just want something to happen like that. And it's almost like we treat God like a magician rather than a Messiah. Come on. We just want him at our beck and call to do everything that is convenient and everything that is good and everything that is right for us. But can I tell you that God sees more than what we see? The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes God might say no, and you're begging him for it, and that no might be the best thing he ever told you. But it's hard to receive because we don't understand how God's worked. So watch this. We go from not understanding how God works to the point that we get consumed with doubt. We get consumed with doubt. John 11, verse 16. Then Thomas, oh, doubting Thomas is his nickname. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we might die with him too. Like we might as well go and die with Lazarus. I mean, just this thing has taken a turn because Jesus is saying we're going to wake him up. And Thomas is just like, it's bad. It's really bad. Let's just throw in the towel and go die with him. I mean, this dude, I mean, come on, doubt is eating him up. And this is what happens is that we get discouraged because we don't see the progress that we think we need to see. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? We're not seeing the progress. And because we're not seeing the progress, we begin to believe the worst. Now, here's the thing. Faith is still working. It's just working in the wrong direction. Instead of continually taking that energy and that faith and believing God, we start taking that energy and believing otherwise. And so we start rehearsing in our mind these things that can happen. And over, we begin to convince ourselves. Instead of thinking on these things, godly things, thinking on that which is right, and what is pure, which is holy, what is pleasing to God, we begin to think of all these scenarios because we don't want to get caught not prepared. Did you hear that? We don't want to be in a situation where we're not prepared. And so what we'll do is we'll analyze, break it all down, and come up with our plan just in case it doesn't all work out. Come on. It's because we're consumed with doubt. We become negative Nelly. Yeah. But you don't understand how bad the situation is. Hey, we're believing God for me. Yeah, I appreciate you praying, but this is different. I believe it's the Lord's will. I've sat with a lot of families in some really crucial moments in their lives, and it blows my mind the way things begin to pray and the way people begin to talk. We just want God's will, whatever it is. Well, God's will is for healing. God's will is for life. That's God's will. I mean, God has a will for our lives, but we don't always live it out. Am I right? Come on, let me just throw a little elbow right there and just kind of nudge you a little bit. God's got a will for our life, but we don't always live it out. And so sometimes we're sitting there because of our fears and our doubts, and we start saying these things. I mean, I want you to know that whenever you're sitting there pouring into a family and there's some really serious stuff going on, and you say something like, hey, we just want to believe God's will, that is one of the worst things you can tell them. Come on, that is one of the worst things you can tell them. You say, hey, we're going to believe that God can and will do a miracle. And you're sitting there saying, but what if he doesn't? What if God does? That is not your job to clean that up. That's his job. Come on, listen, let God be God and let us just be people who represent him. Amen? And so listen, whenever you got people in those situations, be smart. Here's the best thing to tell them. Listen, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm going to stand in faith and believe God with you. Amen? Don't try to pull this fancy spiritual talk stuff. You don't have to do it. Just say, hey, I just want to stand with you and walk with you through this because I don't have all the answers, but we're going to keep looking to Jesus. Listen, so many people need someone to help them stay connected to Jesus through the mess of their lives. So rather than trying to play God and give them this one big statement that tries to clean it all up, don't do that. Let's be really smart and just say, hey, I want to help you walk in this thing and keep your faith in God and keep believing. Amen. Come on, can we do that as a church? That's just a little moment of instruction right there. So here's the progression of the spiritual breakdown. We don't understand how God works. We get consumed with doubt, and ultimately we give up on God. Watch this. Watch this story. John 11:17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. I mean, this guy is dead for 4 days. But watch this in verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Martha was excited that Jesus was coming, but Mary stayed home. She might have a little bit of an attitude at this point. Where were you? Where were you when this was happening? Where were you? He knew all along. He knew all along, and he had a plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Have you ever reached a point where you lost hope? Have you ever reached a point where you just felt like giving up on God because it seems like he's not coming through for you? It's a really tough place to be, but I need you to see how the enemy tries to trap us and break us down spiritually. He tries to confuse us so we don't understand how God works, which leads to being consumed with doubt, which leads to giving up on God. Can we see how the enemy is just trying to separate you from the giver of life and trying to get you in this trap where you're all alone? That's the progression. Now, I know that some of us here, maybe in the course of praying for a healing and believing God for a miracle, just different things that you were hoping that God was going to do, maybe you've given up on God. Maybe you're going to church because you know it's the right thing to do. You're trying to stay spiritual because, you know, it's what you're supposed to do. But in your heart, maybe you're a little upset because God didn't do that thing that you thought he should have done. Maybe he didn't do it the way you thought he should have done it. And so it's kind of put you in this place where you're just like, kind of like Mary. So Jesus is here again. Where was he at then? It's a heavy spot to be in. And today I want to help you out with that because there's a lot of people who, because of what has happened naturally, they just assume that God's not working. But I want you to know this, and I want to make a strong statement, is that death is never final. Death is never final. Even though this guy, Lazarus, has died, death is not the end of it, okay? Because Jesus promises us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Death on earth is one thing, but listen, we still have a whole nother life to live, living with him forever in eternity, amen? And so whenever we start falling into these traps of believing that it's over, it's not over, amen? We still have a life to live with him forever in eternity. So watch what Jesus says right here. And I just want to make this phrase, death is not final. In other words, I'm not going down like this. This whole trap that the enemy is trying to use to break me down spiritually, I'm not going down like this because I believe death is not final. So watch this verse in John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. They're doubting what he's able to do, but he shows up and he says, wait a minute, this is who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is trying to help them see something a little bit bigger than their situation right here. Can I tell you, this is very tough for us. Am I right? Because when you're close to the situation, when you're close to the person, when you're close to that going on, it's hard to see the bigger picture. Come on, am I talking to anybody here today? And so you're just wondering, why does this have to happen? And all the questions. Come on, you ever had a question? And I promise you this, there are questions that I'm saving for when I stand before God that I have to ask. Because I don't know. And I don't understand. And anybody who thinks that they do understand, they're wrong. I don't understand all the answers, but I do know this. I do know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is who he says he is. Amen? So watch this. This is some things that we have to do. If we're really going to get this thing straight, the first thing, if we're going to see miracles in our lives, the first thing is this. You got to settle in your heart who Jesus is. You got to settle in your heart who he is. I know this is going on. I know that is going on. But we have to be settled. This is who he is. And in John 11:21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, listen to this. Doesn't that sound like us? Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you had done this, that wouldn't have happened. Come on, am I talking to anybody here today? If you had done this, and if you just would have done this, this wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be going through this. Everything would be great if you had just done this. She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But watch what she says, and this is strong. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. But I know, I understand what happens, but there's something that I know. And this is what I want to ask you today. Even though these things are happening in your life, is there something that you know about him that you are convinced about? That even though these situations, these issues, these problems arise, that you're confident that I know who he is? And this is really tough because everything in our life is saying otherwise. Everything in our whole situational life is saying no, no, no. But there is something in us, and this is where we got to settle in our heart who Jesus is. There's something in us that says, wait a minute, my God is still good. I don't understand this, but my God is still good. So watch this in verse 27. Martha said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I believe who you are. I believe who you are. To be really transparent today, I'm going to tell you a quick story of one of the most impacting things I've ever walked through in my life. There was a young lady who was in our youth group growing up, and she was getting older, and she just married. She was working in ministry. We found out she had cancer. And this thing had been getting pretty serious, and so they were going around to all the different treatments. They were trying everything. And I was really close with her dad. He was one of my mentors, and there was a lot of times we spent praying together, talking about this, just believing that God was going to just miraculously take this thing away. And this thing kept progressing, and it seemed like the more we prayed, the worse it got. Seriously. And it intensified, man. I'll never forget how many people were coming together to pray for this young lady. And I remember taking a long walk in this hospital with her dad. And he put his arm around me, and this was away from everyone. He put his arm around me. I'll never forget this day as long as I live. He put his arm around me. He said, Wade, today my daughter is going to die. And I didn't want to hear that. And I was in tears hearing him say that. He said, today my daughter is going to die. But it does not change who Jesus is. It does not mean that God is not a healer. It doesn't mean that God can't. It doesn't mean that he won't. It just means that God wants my daughter to be with him in heaven. And when she's in heaven with him, she will be completely and totally healed. Now, here's the other side of this story. Our youth ministry was just days away from hosting a youth conference. People from all over coming in. And the theme of our conference, you want to guess what it was? It was healer. That was the theme of our conference. And I'm sitting there with this man saying, how in the world, because this young lady, it was very influential, how do I tell them that God is a healer when this is going to happen? And he told me, he says, this does not define who God is. This does not change who he is. He said, but it could change who we are. And he told me, he looked me in the eyes, he said, you go and preach and tell him that he's a healer. I will be there on the front row cheering you on. Our God is a healer. Don't you doubt it for a moment. I remember it clearly. And you know what I said? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we preached it, we believed it, and God touched a lot of young people. And this is heavy stuff, but this is real. Amen? This is real stuff because we don't have answers for everything. But Jesus is who he says he is. Have you settled in your heart that he is a healer? Have you settled in your heart that he is a miracle worker? Have you settled in your heart? Are you still checking out other options? He is a miracle working God. Amen? He is a miracle working God. Here's the second thing. Stop analyzing everything. Settle in your heart who Jesus is. But the second thing, we got to stop analyzing everything. Come on, any analyzers in here? Come on, anybody like to break it down? I'm not talking about dancing either. John 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came back to the tomb. Watch this. This is hilarious. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. I mean, who is thinking of this? I mean, seriously, Jesus is like, pull the stone away, let's get to work here. And she's like, but it's going to stink, Lord. Your mind is incredible. I'm just telling you, listen, there are some folks, because of what they do with their jobs and everything, they're so analytical that they cannot go anywhere and enjoy it. They can't even go on vacation and enjoy it because their job is to analyze and to fix. That is their job. And so they can be in the middle of the ocean, I mean, on a boat, it's the perfect conditions, and they can find a problem. How many of y'all know that person? How many of you are that person? God help us. Here's a miracle about to happen. I mean, Jesus don't just say, open the tomb just so I can see what's going on in here. I mean, this guy is in the process of working the miracle, and now she doesn't think it's such a good idea because it might stink. And I have to share that with you because sometimes that's how we roll. We've done figured out so much how it would work if he doesn't do it, that when he begins to do it, all of our plans begin to backfire. All of our plans begin to come undone. And we're like, hold up, wait a minute. I put too much effort in it to get it to this point. You can't come and undo it. What is wrong with us? And we're trying to figure out why we don't see miracles. Because we're so analytical. We analyze everything. I don't know if he asked the right people to move the stone. I don't know if they were spiritual enough. Just get the rock out of the way. I know this is a big one for us. Because we're trying to figure out exactly how he's going to do it. We're trying to figure out when he's going to do it. And if he does do it, how is that going to impact this? And how is that going to affect this? And if he does that, then oh my God, what does that mean for us? And then if he does that, that means we're going to have to go to church all the time. Oh God, I don't know if I can do that. It's summertime coming. And I'm saying that because that's the stuff that rolls through our minds. They may ask me to share about it at church, and I don't like getting in front of people. We're analytical. We have analyzed the situation so much that we don't even know how to think anymore. It's this battle of our mind. Our feelings and all of this is just conflicting with our faith. You know, it can get so bad, we don't even pray about it anymore. You ever been there? Like, why pray? I already got it figured out. I already know what's going to happen anyway. This is the progression, though, that spiritual breakdown. But what if we quit analyzing it and truly put it in the Lord's hands? Isn't that hard to do? So hard to put it in the Lord's hands because it seems irresponsible of us. It seems irresponsible of us to take that relationship and put it in the Lord's hands. Oh, we got to work on this thing. And I got to do this 17 steps to a happier marriage. And then we're on step three, it got bad. Like she took a swing at me, you know, on step three. I don't know about four. I ain't going there. So watch this. We got to stop breaking down the problem, stop breaking down the issue, and start building up the faith. Stop breaking it down. Start building up the faith. Again, going back to the first thing, Jesus, you're the healer. Jesus, you're the Savior. Jesus, you're the Redeemer. I'm going to keep going back to it. I know I'm not seeing it, but I'm going to keep believing that you are who you say you are. I'm going to keep believing it. I'm going to keep believing it. And here's the last thing. Yeah, I'm going to settle who Jesus is. I'm going to stop analyzing it. I'm going to start living again. And this one is difficult. See, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so that we can have life and life abundantly. He came so that we can have life and life abundantly. And so many times these issues, these situations, these problems, they start sucking the life out of us. And it's like our whole world revolves around that. Come on. Y'all know what I mean? Like we're so intent on making sure something happens with this. Our whole world revolves around this situation. And it's like everything else no longer exists to us. And so we're not living at this point. This thing is, and you said it. You've said it like this. This thing is killing me. This thing is too much for me. I've had to put so much effort, so much energy. We say it like this. I can't keep doing this. But we keep doing it. Because we feel like if I don't keep doing it, then I don't care and I'm not a good person. We got to start living again. John 11:43. Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Crazy thing to say at a funeral. Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is huge right here. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lazarus had a choice. He could either stay dead or come alive. And we have a choice. And this is our choice. We can either stay in the trap that Satan has laid out for us and be defined by death, or we can stand in faith in Jesus and be defined by life. That's our choice. I'm either going to let this thing define me and die because of it, or I'm going to live because of the life that God gives, even to these dead situations. Come out of the trap. Come out of the trap where all of your attention, your life is literally so engulfed in that situation. I feel like the Lord is saying, it's time to live again. It's time to live again. Listen, I know you're worried about it. I know you want to make sure everything goes okay with it. And you're doing, watch this, everything in your power to make sure. But what if we let him do it in his power? What if we put it in his hands and let his power take over so that we can keep living? So that we can continue to have our families, amen? So that we can continue to be the man of God, the woman of God that we need to be. You see, I feel like we're carrying burdens we're not supposed to carry. We're carrying his burdens. He says, cast them upon me and I will sustain you. You see, we're overbearing with these worries and these doubts. That's why we're falling to pieces. And listen, I need you to know that these situations are tearing us apart internally. It's tearing our homes apart. It's tearing our lives apart. And we're losing hope because we forgot who Jesus was. And watch this, because we forgot who he was, we're trying to play who he is. We're trying to do what only he can do. And it's frustrating and it's aggravating. And how come you can't see that I'm trying to help them? And why won't you just help me? You ever been in that one before? This is what we start to sound like. You should have done this and you could have done that. We're carrying it. We've got to put it in his hands. So this is what I want to encourage you to do. Start living again. Get some help. If you're in that situation today where it's so overwhelming, you got to get some help. Go see a counselor, a good godly counselor. Get into an e-group. I talked to a lady this morning who's going through something. She said, my e-group, these ladies were holding me up. Come on, somebody. She's going to keep believing because she's got a circle of people around her that is holding her up and helping her to continue to believe, even though the situation doesn't look that good. Make the decision that you won't be defined by that failure, that you won't be defined by that one moment in your life. You won't be defined by that situation. You won't be defined by that issue. Come on, somebody. That you're not going to let this thing that broke down determine who you are and how you live the rest of your life. Because I know who Jesus is. And he is the resurrection and the life. And see, resurrection isn't an event. It's a person. See, if it's an event, it only happens for a couple of people. But because it's a person and I have a relationship with the person, then there is a possibility for this to happen in me. And I'm just going to stay close to the person who is the resurrection and the life, because I just happen to believe that God's got more for me than this failure, than this situation, than this issue that is going on. I just believe that God's got a lot going on other than this. And I'm not going to be blinded by the fact that God couldn't use this for his glory. Come on, somebody. There is some glory in the story that is being written, and I don't see it all right now. Just like you, whenever you see these things happen, you don't understand it all, and you can't figure out why did God do it that way. But as you go down the road, you look back and you realize, I see what the Lord was doing. I didn't like it then, but now I'm certainly appreciative of what God is doing in my life. Amen. God used it to build me. I didn't realize he was building me. I thought he forgot me. I thought he abandoned me. I thought God rolled out on me. I didn't realize the whole time while he was waiting a couple days on that fishing trip, he was actually working on my behalf. He was actually working for my good. I didn't see it then, but he was working. And I'm so thankful that I stayed faithful. I'm so thankful that I quit breaking it down and I start building up my faith, because now I see what God's got for me and now I'm able to walk in it. Back then I couldn't walk in it because I didn't know how to walk yet. I was falling down and stumbling because Satan was pushing me around in my unbelief. But I reached a point where I realized I'm not going to be bullied anymore. I'm not going to be pushed around anymore. I know who my God is. Come on, somebody. I know who my God is. And I choose to believe him over this whole mess that is going on. And even though I don't understand and I don't have the answers, I know him. And if he comes on the scene, he is the resurrection. He is the life. Come on, somebody. Somebody's getting some hope in here today. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. You don't understand everything about your car, but when you leave here, you're going to get in it and drive off. You don't understand the techniques they use to cook your meal for lunch today, but you're going to bless it and eat it. Come on. There's a lot of things. You don't understand a woman, but you married her. You don't understand a man, but you said, I do. Come on. I'm just saying. There's a lot we don't understand. But there's this thing called faith that prompts us to take a step and to take another step. See, today what I'm hoping I'll do is just encourage you to take a step. I can't stand up here and explain and even try to understand why things happened in your life the way they did. Just like this young lady I mentioned, I still to this day don't understand why God just didn't heal her. I don't. But having her dad tell me that has so impacted my faith for the rest of my life. Because to walk through that and still be convinced of who Jesus is, you've got something. You've got something that will sustain you through storms. And I want that. Now let me finish with this one line. This is really what I want you to walk away from here with today. Instead of believing what we see, let's choose to believe what Jesus said. When you're in that moment where you're seeing it and it's just all breaking down, you're going to be tempted to say, you see, I knew it wasn't going to work. That's what you're going to be tempted to say. But change your confession. Instead of saying, I knew it wasn't going to work, say something like this: I know he's going to work. You'll be tempted to say the other, but just say, I know God's going to work. I don't know how he's going to do it. You ever had a situation arise at work and you had to figure it out? You don't know how it's going to work, but eventually you work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's going to work it out. I want you to bow your heads this morning as we finish. And again, I want to be really sensitive with this because I know this is tough. For those of you who have lost loved ones, this is really challenging. And I know that. In no way do I want to be disrespectful to you, but I do want you to reach the point to where, even though these things have happened, you still believe God. Even though he didn't answer your prayer, can I tell you this? Since I was 7 years old, I've been deaf in my left ear. I pray about it all the time. I check it all the time. Seriously. I'll put a headphone in one ear. I'm just really being transparent here. And I've been doing this for years and years and years. I check it all the time. Because I believe that it's going to happen. Now, I'm 41, so I got 34 years on this thing. And I've tried all kinds of stuff. But the one thing I've never given up on is believing that God can and he will heal it. It's not on my timeline. Is it frustrating? You better believe it. My little girl tries to tell me something in my ear. It's tough. It's heartbreaking. But it doesn't change who God is. I still believe he's going to heal me. And for 34 years, you know how many people have prayed for me? Weird stuff too, like dipping their finger in oil and putting it in my ear. That's weird. Don't do that to people. They did it. Weird. No hating on the oil people either. I'm just saying, it's weird when they stick an oily finger in your ear. I still believe, though. I still believe. And you know what? I think as a church, I think it's incredible when you have a community of people that, even though situations arrive and issues show up, we stand together and we keep believing. Even though we can't figure out and explain why that's happening like that, we stick together and we believe with each other. Come on, somebody. We touch and agree, believing that God can, believing that God will, even though we don't see, because we know what he said. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, this message, I've been struggling with this because I need God to do something in my life. I need God to do something in this situation and that problem with that issue. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And I believe that God can restore your faith and cause your faith to live again. And that trap that the enemy has put you in, God will set you free from it today. You say, Pastor Wade, that's me. I just want you to lift a hand real quick and put it right back down. Anyone else in here, you say, I've been believing God for a miracle, and I can't figure out why it hadn't happened yet, and it's causing me to doubt. I'm struggling. I want us to stand together this morning as a church. I know this is different than what we usually do, but I just want to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who raised that hand, said I'm struggling, I want you to lift your hands to God. And those who are around them, just reach a hand towards them. Just reach a hand towards them. I just want to pray. There's a lot of you today that are in that situation. And it can become very paralyzing. But today, I'm believing you're going to take a step. So Lord, today we stand together with our brothers and sisters that are in a state of confusion, maybe even consumed with doubt, trying to figure out why it hasn't happened yet, or trying to figure out exactly, do you even hear me, God? Maybe have even wrestled with their own life. Have they been good enough to deserve a miracle? Father, right now, I pray that the trap that the enemy has laid out will be completely exposed. That the trap that the enemy lays out for marriages to fall apart will be completely exposed. The trap that the enemy lays out to try to cause people to turn their back on God will be completely exposed. And Father, I thank you that you are the resurrection and the life, and that you have the word. And today, Lord, we speak the word into every one of these issues, into every one of these situations, into every sickness, into every relationship. And we speak life today in the name of Jesus. And we stand together in faith, believing with our brothers and sisters, believers, God, that you are able to do a miracle. And Lord, I just pray now in the mighty name of Jesus that you will cause our faith to begin to grow and that we would trust you even though we don't see, God. Even though we don't know, Father, we will be settled that Jesus is the healer, that Jesus is the miracle worker. He is the deliverer. He is the redeemer. He is the one that turns it around. And so, Lord, I stand with every person in here today that is believing you for something in their lives, God. Lord, today we continually ask with boldness in our faith that you will come and do a miracle, whether it's sickness, whether it's addiction, whether it's family problems. Father, today we ask for the miracle because you are the miracle worker. And this situation doesn't define you, but it sets you up for glory. So, Lord, come into our problems and get yourself the glory.